When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's time for Dodger Baseball.
Welcome to Dodger Stadium.
Dodgers win!
This is the golden age of Dodger Baseball.
It's a double for Freddie.
They're going to make big signings. They're going to make impact trades. This is the most anticipated season in Dodgers history.
Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Big blue, bleed blue, and I'm out. What is up, Dodgers Nation? Welcome to the Dodgers Nation postgame show. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. If you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the channel, the number one Dodgers YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, and hit that like button for your Los Angeles Dodgers. And also comment "Ohtani" down below, so you're eligible for our next giveaway at 95,000 subscribers. We're going to do a giveaway before then, so definitely subscribe for that. Also, sorry about the sound issue. We are back in the mix, and we have a lot to unpack. The Dodgers, they get the dub 14-7 over the San Francisco Giants in extra innings. They improve to 52-32, 20 games over 500 on the season, 7.5 games up on the San Diego Padres in the National League West. And what a game it was for the Dodgers. It felt like it was going to be the second straight walk-off for the San Francisco Giants in consecutive nights after what we saw there in that 10th inning. So lots of unpack in this one. Tyler Glasnow, yes, he had his worst start of the season. It was a rocky start for Tyler Glasnow. He ends up really not having the best night of it. He allowed 9 of the 17 hitters that he faced reach base. The pitch count was way up. He threw 37 pitches there in his final inning and worked that third inning. It was the first time in 17 starts that he didn't go at least 5 innings. So I think we'll talk about that. It was a rough night for Tyler Glasnow, but boy, did this offense pick them up. This offense for the Dodgers, they stepped up in a big way, and they're able to get that win. And we're going to get to the epic 11th inning, and we're going to talk about Ohtani's home run. We're going to talk about Miguel Rojas, what a three-hit game. But Daniel Hudson, give me the shh Daniel Hudson gif. Give me the shh Daniel Hudson video, because he really, after giving up that two-run shot the previous night, he's finally able to get back out there, and he helps preserve this game for the Los Angeles Dodgers. As you saw yesterday, he gave up that two-run shot, but he ends up striking out Patrick Bailey, and he had a five-man infield there. You had Dave Roberts calling action, and you had the two outfielders. You had the five men on the infield, and it looked like they was heading for their second consecutive walk-off. But Daniel Hudson, he steps up in a big way, and he gets this team another opportunity, takes the game to the 11th. But an incredible showing there by Daniel Hudson, who steps up. Yeah, the base is loaded in that situation. He strikes out Bailey, nasty slider down the way, and he gets Chapman on the first pitch to foul to Will Smith. So you're really concerned. He gave up that VR double to left. That ends up tying it earlier in the inning. Then he intentionally walked Wade Jr., and then Ramos, he reached on that infield single to third, and you thought it was over, but no, Daniel Hudson, he was nails, he was clutch, and he stepped in a bit, upped in a big way. So you could give it to Will Smith, you could give it to Miguel Rojas, Ohtani, but my Dodger dog of the game is going to Daniel Hudson.
Dodger dog of the game.
Who is your Dodger dog of the game? Let me know down below in the comment section. Also, where you're representing Dodgers Nation from, we got Alex, as I was saying earlier, my Chubb still hasn't gone down since getting that W. Alex, I'm going to give you A for that one. Steve Savak, I ate a can of stag chili and now my farts. Okay, what is up with you guys? It's Saturday night, you guys going wild. Jim O'Neill, I don't know what was better, shutting up the crowd or Smoltz. So I want to say this about that crowd, because if you don't know, I'll tell you. They gave away Aloha Hawaiian shirts tonight that said Beat LA on them. You saw them in the crowd. Giants fans were wearing them, Beat LA. They're all chanting Beat LA. Only thing Giants fans beat LA to today was to their cars in the parking lot after the game, because you saw them leaving early. You saw them exiting early. And it was a pretty sight to see, because Dodgers fans, they showed up, they showed out, they represented like they always do at Dodger Stadium North. And it's definitely a home environment up there. And you heard the cheers, you heard the crowd throughout. And I think that that's what drove this Dodgers team to reach down and get this win. It helped Will Smith get that clutch double to start the 11th. It helped Jason Hayward get that clutch triple to tack on more runs. And just a phenomenal showing from this Dodgers team. And really, outside of the comeback against the Colorado Rockies, the 5-run ninth inning comeback, you have to say this was at the very least the most entertaining game of the year, and quite possibly the game of the year when you consider it's the arch rival San Francisco Giants. I can't watch on YouTube. Let me check right here to make sure the YouTube is going on right now. We see we got the public here. Publish that. Okay, go check on YouTube right now. It should be live. We had some issues going on, but be sure to check the YouTube chat right now. We should be good to go. Great win. What up, D-Mac? What up, Tony? No love on YouTube. Check that right now. We got Kenneth Tang. I agree. Hudson is the Dodger dog tonight. BLA. BC says fix. So yeah, you will find us on YouTube. Diane Schroeder. And definitely can rewind too and watch the first part of the show. Audio check. Hey, I hear you. All good. What up, Roy Estrada? So we are going to dive into this one. Rod Wells, bases loaded, bottom of the 10th, went out. Giants did not score. Dodgers fans would have blamed Roberts. Also, Giants gave up 7 runs. Dodgers fans would blame Robert Kelly Oshiro. We got Alex Kenny Chung. It's 6:36. That I'll never get back. Kenny Chung, what's up, representing? Hey, you're back, and you have sound. What up, Richard Flores? Yeah, as I was just saying, and we're going to unpack this entire game, and like I said, my favorite thing about tonight's win was watching all those Giants fans wearing those shirts that said beat LA on them, and only thing that was beat today was the San Francisco Giants. Only thing that those fans beat LA at today was beating LA Dodgers fans to the parking lot to their cars, because they were all leaving early. And it was a beautiful sight to see. D-Mac has said, what up, Rod Wells? What is up, Dave Sabatini over in New York? E. Castillo 100, easy clap, Sammy 77. Glass now, look gas. We're going to talk about that. KCCG Biggio better be DFA before the plane leaves San Francisco.
Fire team.
Not a good night for Biggio. I mean, you saw the infield single from Chapman in the third inning that really derailed things. And look, I've told you this on this show. Kevin Biggio is a stopgap. Kevin Biggio is supposed to be a bridge to getting Max Muncy back. The issue with Kevin Biggio, and before they made the signing, is what I said was the reason why Kevin Biggio is on this team is because of the lack of success that Kike Hernandez is having this season against right-handed pitching. And unfortunately, they felt like they had to go out there and add another piece. And Kevin Biggio, he just has not performed. And unfortunately, that has been the case. And really, offensively, you say, okay, he's going to be batting with the bottom of the lineup. But defensively is where it gets ugly and where it's been underwhelming. Because, yes, we know an error is an error, and some plays aren't marked as errors, but they definitely have a big impact on games. And there's certain plays that you see that players will say that they should make. But like I said, Kike Hernandez on the season just really struggling against righties, hitting 181 against righties. And the hope was that Kevin Biggio, a change of scenery, that he was going to be able to help this team. Unfortunately, he hasn't helped this team. Unfortunately, it just hasn't been what they had hoped. And look, here's the thing. He's not going to factor into this roster. He isn't. I mean, 3 errors, 10 games for Kevin Biggio. I mean, the issue I have with Kevin Biggio is, I said it before, I say it again, Andre Lipsia should have got an opportunity to get called up to see if he could contribute. At the ceiling, the best case scenario, he becomes the next Muncy or Turner or CT3 in a reclamation project that teams gave up on that could go up and help you. Worst case scenario is you DFA him after a month. But he has been raking at the AAA level all season long, and you give that opportunity to Kevin Biggio, and unfortunately, it just has not worked out. I mean, you look at his numbers so far. I mean, he's striking out a 36.4% clip, a 46 weighted runs created plus, hitting 179, just not doing very much at all. He's not additive, and he's not going to be a part of this team's long-term plans, and his days, I think, are numbered when Max Muncy returns, and he's not going to be a part of this roster, but unfortunately, it just has not worked out. Nepo Kid is an absolute failure. That's a little rough right there. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, the apple fell far from the tree. Of course, Craig Biggio is Data Hall of Famer, but still, it's just area where, unfortunately, a player that was playing that position was off to having the best year of his career. I truly believe that this was going to be Max Muncy's most complete season as a big leaguer. He was on pace to hit 36 home runs and get 100 RBI. So it was a great year for him that was just unfortunately derailed by that rib injury. But let's talk some more. SoCal Red, D-Mag bringing that Kenny Powers look and energy. What up, SoCal Red 16? Always rocking with us. You know I appreciate you, my man. Mario Lanverde, Kiko was disappointed to watch today. Gotani. Long term, we want him gone now. LOL. Please come back, Mad Max. Way to finish strong, Blue. Dodger dog of the game goes to Sean Healy. Hey, I mean, that's definitely a possibility. My Dodger dog of the game, though, and we're going to unpack everything. We'll talk a little about Kenley Jansen, a rumor about Kenley Jansen and the Dodgers' interest in him. I've told you this whole time, one thing that you should always know about this organization is if they've shown interest in you once, they're going to continue to, unless you get injured or unless a lot of your peripheral numbers start to fall off. So there has been a lot of just sneaky interest with the Dodgers and Kenley for quite some time. They had some in the offseason, and I think that you're starting to see some momentum in that possible deal bringing him back to LA. I would not be shocked if it happens at this point. In fact, if I had to bet on it, they're looking for another reliever, one that really checks off their boxes as far as acquiring relievers in the season. Kenley does that. He's on expiring contract. They could pay down some of his contract that he has left. You're talking about $16 million, but we're deep into the season, so he's not owed close to that. So I think it's definitely a possibility. So would you want to see Kenley back? We'll talk about that in a second here, but CT3 can play third. That's from Diane Schroeder. I think that's something that you want to consider as well. The Chris Taylor arc is definitely trending in the right direction, so there's no doubt about it. I think that's something they should do. I mean, I think you look at the starts that Biggio's getting, they're trying to definitely see, okay, if we throw him out there and he does something for us, I mean, is he going to be able to do that, or is he as useful as a glass hammer, right? I mean, do you want to see him get those opportunities? And I think they want to kind of exhaust them. But I think that at the same token, they want to see if it was worth doing in the first place. So if he continues to produce at this level, which is not very high, I definitely think that you're going to see them make an adjustment as far as his role on this team and the amount of opportunities that he gets. But let's start in the 10th inning. We're going to rewind here because a lot to unpack. So talking about Tyler Glass now, some interesting stuff about Tyler Glass now from this one. But really, it starts in the 10th inning. The 10th inning, extra innings, you're always kind of holding your breath when the Dodgers are playing in extras, but you have seen them improve there this season. But you look at the 10th inning, and really, like Dave, like Joe Davis pointed out, it is kind of like holding serve. You just want to be able to, at the very least, score one run, but really you want to put up multiple runs in extras to give yourself a chance. And Hayward, he grounded to first, and great at-bat there by Jason Hayward, a professional at-bat. Jason Hayward, he had been struggling heading into this one as well, and great at-bat. You advance the runner. You get Taylor from second to third. And very next batter, Miguel Rojas, 1-0 pitch. He singled to center to score Taylor to put the Dodgers up 7-6. And that was what they got in that inning. Lux fly to left. Kike, he struck out looking. They had one run on one hit. But that was pivotal because you look at the bottom of the 10th and you have Taylor in center, defensive substitution. Huddy, Daniel Hudson into pitch the 10th. He gets Ahmed to ground to short. And then that's with one out. You got VR at the plate. 0-1 pitch. He doubled to left to tie things up at 7 quickly. And then it looked like the wheels were falling off. It looked like the Giants were primed for their second consecutive walk-off win against the Dodgers. They end up intentionally walking Lamont Wade Jr. And then Ramos, he reaches on an infield single to the third. More underwhelming defense there by Kevin Biggio. And they get the bases loaded. And then he steps up in a massive way. This was gut check time, right? This was nut crunching time for Daniel Hudson. And he gets Bailey swinging. He strikes him out with a nasty slider down the way. And then Chapman with the bases loaded. The game-winning run at third base. First pitch, he fouls out to get out of the inning. I thought we were going to see shh from Daniel Hudson. But then I remembered that there was more Dodgers fans at Oracle than Giants fans. So why would he shush Dodgers fans right there? So great inning there by Hudson. And then the top of the 11th inning, they walk Ohtani intentionally, of course, why wouldn't you, to get to Will Smith. I thought to myself, the disrespect to Smitty, the clutch prince, one of the most clutch players in Major League Baseball when it matters most. Yes, he had been mired in a slump, but great at bat. He falls behind the count 0-2, fouls off the third pitch, then he gets a sinker on the inner half. He gets his hands in and he cranks a double to center. That puts the Dodgers up 9-7. The clutch prince comes through.
Smith into left center field, headed for the gap, headed for the wall. Hernandez in to score. Ohtani's right behind him. He'll score without a throw. And a two-run double from Will.
And then the Dodgers absolutely poured it on. Next batter, Freddie Freeman, 0-1 pitch. He doubled to center. That scored Smith to make it 10-7. Teoscar reached on an infield single to second. Freeman advanced to third. Dodgers were set up with runners on the corners with Chris Taylor at the plate. Great AB by CT3. Falls down the count 0-2. Works his way up. He loads the count 3-2. Then the seventh pitch of the at-bat, he pokes a single to right. That scores another run to make it 11-7 Dodgers. And then really just the haymaker, the jugular shot came from Jason Hayward. First pitch, he triples to right. That added two more runs. Teoscar and Taylor scored to make it 13-7. And then Miggy Rowe, first pitch, he hits a sack fly to left to score Hayward. The Dodgers tack another one on to make it 14-7. Dodgers get seven runs on five hits, absolutely bludgeoned the Giants in that inning, and you get five straight hits, and that was all she wrote. Ryan Yarbrough, he comes in the 11th and just goes 1-2-3. Dodgers get the dub. But kind of the big takeaways here, and we have to start with Miguel Rojas, because Miguel Rojas, just you keep waiting for him to have that negative regression, right? Oh, he's going to play every day. He's going to play the shortstop position every single day, so the numbers are going to drop. Hasn't happened yet. The Dodgers, yes, the 24-0 magic, it's over because they lost yesterday. Well, guess what? They're 13-0 when he has an RBI, and he was big there in the second inning. He gets a single to right to score Páez that time.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on.
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
It up at the time. He ends up with three hits in this game. And Miguel Rojas is really starting to be that player that is just so valuable to this team. I mean, he reached on infield single to short to score. Páez in the fourth inning gets an RBI there. He's elite defensively, and he's more than contributing offensively. It'd be one thing if he was an average bat. If he was an average bat, I'd be like, okay, cool, average bat, I get it, that's fine. But he's now hitting .297 with a .346 on base. He's slugging .446 with a .128 weighted runs created plus. Miguel Rojas needs to be the everyday shortstop for the Los Angeles Dodgers. I'm planting my flag. I find the highest mountain, and I'm screaming it to the heavens. Miguel Rojas needs to be the Dodgers' starting shortstop, even when Mookie Betts is healthy. So if that means putting Mookie back in the outfield or having him at second base, which was the original plan, you have to do it. But if you're going to get a Bo Bichette, fine. He's having a down year. He'd be great. That'd be awesome. That'd be cool. Is it going to happen? Probably not. I think you're going to focus on adding another outfield bat, potentially. But Miguel Rojas, at age 35, you can keep him healthy. He absolutely should be that starting center field, that starting shortstop for your Los Angeles Dodgers. But let me know down below in the comments section, what are your thoughts on Miguel Rojas? Should he be the starting shortstop for the Dodgers even when Mookie Betts returns? We have a 199 super chat from CHF. Let's go, Dodgers. We got Miguel Rojas. That's from Anu. Going to give that a fire take. It's a fire take right there. Miguel Rojas. So you love that right there. Ramirez is a risk. Postseason scares me. Come on. Do you really think that you don't mess with the Johan is going to be pitching high leverage innings for the Dodgers? I mean, I just don't think that's going to be the case. So you got a lot of guys that are hopefully going to return from injury, and I think they're going to add another arm. We talked about Kenley Jansen as a possibility. Wouldn't rule out Tanner Scott as a possibility. You got Ramirez. You have Vesia. How about Michael Peterson? He goes two-thirds of an inning, and he ends up with those two strikeouts. He was big tonight. Anthony Bonda, he's been great. He had two punchouts in an inning. Blake Treinen, he gets back to where he needed to be. A one inning, very efficient, just 10 pitches, had a strikeout. Evan Phillips, come on, you know Fireman Phillips is nasty. He goes an inning, and then Hudson, he gets the win, 5-1. How about Huddy, man? Gave those two hits, 18 pitches. He gets, he gets second dog.
Dodger dog
of the game for Daniel Hudson. Go Tani. We got Rojas, three hits. Rojas is him for Mario. Dodgers need to trade for Mason Miller. It's a fire take right there.
Fire take.
Get Ramirez out of there. But here's the thing about Mason Miller. I will tell you this. the A's have been ho-hum about possibly trading him. Should they trade him? Absolutely. His value is never going to be higher. He has tons of years of team control. You can get a big haul. You're going to be playing in that alternate stadium where, I mean, it's going to be sort of a bandbox there. So you're definitely going to be entering a full rebuild if you're the A's. I would absolutely trade him, but I think that it's still up in the air whether or not they're going to do so. But Kelly Oshiro said, at least you have us making the World Series. Peek a peep. Baseball gods were not going to let MLB screw the Dodgers for the second game in a row. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, the calls on Ohtani last night were atrocious. Tonight, really, we're going to talk about Tyler Glasnow next, and it wasn't his best night for a lot of different reasons. He wasn't getting the call, but just the mechanical miscues for him. The release point was inconsistent. You didn't see that flow that you see from him, leaving curveballs up out of the plate, leaving sliders up out of the plate. Fastball command was sharp at times. Sometimes it wasn't. That third inning, though, 37 pitches, that's really where you see him struggling to have that efficiency. And really, the defense let him down with Kevin Biggio, quite frankly. And yeah, it just wasn't a good night for Tyler Glasnow. Tyler Glasnow on the night really just wasn't that ace that he's been for the Dodgers all season. Because all season, he's pitched at a Cy Young level. He's pitched at an elite frontline ace starter level. He should be the starter in the All-Star game. I think that maybe that could be in doubt unless he has a couple more really good starts. You got Sale, you got Suarez, you got other guys that definitely should be under strong consideration. But Tyler Glasnow is someone that, when it comes to pure stuff, when he's right, he takes a backseat to no one. He goes just three innings, gave up five runs on seven hits, just one strikeout. One strikeout, had those two walks. Both those walks ended up scoring. Throws 61 pitches, 39 for strikes. And with Tyler Glasnow on the night, 8 for 17 on first pitch strikes. So he was falling behind hitters. The stuff just was not there. And sometimes if he doesn't have his curveball, doesn't have that slider, you really see it bleed into the command with his other pitches. And he ends up throwing those 37 pitches in that third inning. And that's when you knew it was going to be a short night. And that's why, hey, another Dodger dog of the game. I'm giving the Dodger dog of the game to the entire relief corps, man. 8 relievers total for the Dodgers tonight. And they stepped up in a major way.
Dodger dog of the game.
But let me know down below in the comment section, what grade do you give Tyler Glasnow for his start tonight? He ends up allowing 9 of the 17 batters that he faced reach in those three innings of work. So 9 of 17 reached against Glasnow through those 37 pitches, and he gave up four doubles, just one strikeout, and gave up five runs. So did not look like Tyler Glasnow. I don't think he was out of gas now or anything like that. I just think it's an off start by someone that's been great for this season. It was the first time all year that he didn't go at least five frames. The first time all season that Glasnow hasn't pitched at least five innings. So yeah, every pitcher, I don't care how good you are, every now and then you're going to have a clunker. And for Tyler Glasnow, that was tonight. So I'm not overly concerned about it, but it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say about his start after the game. What grade do you give him for the year he's had? He's done a lot of extra credit this year, so I'm going to give him a better grade, but definitely a C minus start, D minus, probably a D plus start for Tyler Glasnow based on his standards. There's no doubt about it. And you just look at his problem innings and kind of where it went south for Glasnow. Bottom of the first inning, gave up that double to Soler, that slider out over the plate. Two batters later, Ramos, he gets a sac fly. That four-seam fastball wasn't well located. So they get one run on one hit off from there in the bottom of the first. Bottom of the second, another leadoff double, this time to Chapman. Gives up a double to Conforto. Thankfully, they were able to get Chapman stealing. Remember, kids, you never want to be the first or last out at third base. And Chapman thought he had a read and a jump on Glasnow. Glasnow was looking back, and he's able to make that throw, and they get the out there, so no damage done. And then against Wisely, he got that strikeout, had a curveball in the dirt. So that was his best pitch tonight, that curveball in the dirt to get that strikeout. So he worked his way around the two hits there and two doubles in the second, but the bottom of the third is where the wheels fell off. And the biggest pet peeve is leadoff walks, right? He gives up a leadoff walk to Ahmed. Just didn't have the command. Was missing high with that slider. Missing high with that four-seam fastball. He was missing up in the zone. That's what tells you the mechanical adjustments weren't there during the game. The release point was off. And when he's missing high, that's when you just look at that. You know there's something that's not going right for him. And then gives up another double to Soler. This one, another slider out over the plate. Left it up. They tie it there at two. Then a couple batters later, Ramos singles to center, four-seam fastball right out over the plate. Then he gives up a single to Bailey, four-seam fastball right out over the plate. So just was not hitting his spots on the corners, and that really is the story about his outing. Then really, Chapman, he reached on the infield single to third. Not a great play on the ball by Kevin Biggio. Not an easy play either, but still they are able to score another run. That made it 4-2 Giants. Then he walks Conforto, fell behind 3-0 in that count, tried to work his way up, and then he missed badly with the four-seam fastball. Just pulled it there on the sixth pitch of the at-bat, and that walk could afford to load the bases. And then Matos, he grounded to a fielder's choice to third, and that scored Bailey to make it 5-2. So that was it. He gives up four runs on four hits in that inning, and that was just tough. So let me know, is it something, nothing, or everything with Tyler Glasnow? Let me know down below in the comments section. We got to Mario. I agree with Rojas, but we need an outfielder and a starter ASAP. You know where I'm at. Starters. Can never have enough elite pitching, and that's where the game is won on the mound in the postseason. Not going to see a lot of 14-7 games in October. It's not like it doesn't happen, but they're rare. BC, maybe moving back will help Mookie's power return. That's from BC. I'm worried about Glasnow is going to burn out. I mean, it's a fair conversation. It is fair. I mean, he has pitched so well this season, but these are uncharted waters for Tyler Glasnow. And you look at his numbers heading into the start, he was already at 100. Now he's at 103 innings so far for Tyler Glasnow. And that's a lot. 17 starts. So he's only four starts away from matching his career high for games started. He started 21 games last year, and he's at 103 pitches, 103 innings. He's only 17 innings away from matching his career high for innings pitched in a season. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they manage him. I asked Dave Roberts this question about how they're going to manage Tyler Glasnow and if he's going to be managed different. I asked him that in Korea and throughout the season. Yeah, they are not shy about saying that they're probably going to, whether it be missing a turn in the rotation, maybe you have a little phantom IL situation, miss a couple starts. There's no way you're going to see him make every single turn in the rotation go 200 innings or anything like that. They know why they traded and extended him, and that was to be big in the postseason. But True Glasnow looks burnt out already. No love for my super chat. Richard Flores, my bad. Let me go up. But Richard Flores, you're the man. You have the best setup, the best bobbleheads. Appreciate you, my guy, Richard Flores. D-Mac, what a game. Protective pro gear. CT3 starting to come around. Kike and Biggio not getting it done. Yeah, Kike struggled. Biggio struggled. The good thing about this game, though, I will say, is a lot of guys contributed. I mean, we could spend a lot of time on a lot of these guys. I mean, Shohei Ohtani. We haven't even talked about Shohei Ohtani. And, you know, I love me some Shohei Ohtani. And top of the third inning, after Biggio flyout, Ohtani steps up to the plate. Great piece of hitting. Goes down the count 0-2. Takes a ball for the third pitch. Fouls off a couple pitches. Then sixth pitch of the at-bat, you leave a slider out over the plate, and it's Ohtani moonshot time.
Ohtani hammers this ball in the air to straightaway center field. Did he get enough? He sure did! Shohei Ohtani to dead center field. Dodgers take the lead.
Ohtani's 26th home run of the season put the Dodgers up 2-1 there in the third, and what was such a wild game. But yeah, incredible night for this Dodgers team because Ohtani comes through. Smith 3-for-6. Freddie Freeman goes 2-for-4 with 2 RBI. Teoscar Hernandez goes 1-for-6. Páez goes 1-for-4. Scored 2 runs, had a walk. Chris Taylor, he goes 1-for-1 in his at-bat, scored 2 runs. Jason Hayward goes 2-for-5. Miguel Rojas goes 3-for-5 with 4 RBI. Lux went 2-for-6. Biggio goes 0-for-2. And then Kike Hernandez goes 0-for-4. So 14 runs for the Dodgers on 16 hits. 16 hits for the Dodgers. You had doubles by Freeman, who had two. Smitty had one in extras, and Páez also cranked a double as well. And offensively, they got the job done, and they gutted out on the pitching side as well. We got Icy Glass now was trying to see how he could get out of the game with at least the least innings pitched, him, Miller, and Buehler. Yeah, I think that he's out there always competing, and he's always going out there and trying to do what's best for this team, and that's go deep into games and be dominant. That's what he's here to do. I did see a really interesting tweet from Chris O'Leary that's talking about his pitching release, and he said that good look at the weird position Glasnow's pitching side forearm is in when he starts to come under the load. It's flat, and Tommy John twisted around. So you wonder if the mechanics, just kind of the flat release there, that's kind of one thing that has been disputed as far as a reason that pitchers have gone under the knife. And I think it's something that's definitely relevant, and it's all about mechanics, and that definitely affects how pitchers are able to stay effective and stay healthy. Glasnow, load management, Yang Yi, a C-minus from Giant Schroeder, a D-plus from Dodgers. This is your grade for Glasnow's outing. Air on D-Mac, no sound, bruh. D, only 1K. We got Ray Soto. We got the D, double D for Glasnow. D-Mac looks like a Chili's manager with the... I like that. When I wear my Aloha hat, I look like the manager at Islands. But not for the what up? What's up, Richard Flores? I don't think I must have had a malfunction. Just drop your question again for sure. Rosemary Rodriguez, I'm kind of done with the Bizio experiment. That's what his dad isn't impressed. That's why his own dad isn't impressed by him. That's from Rosemary Rodriguez over there. Glasnow still an ace. He was tipping. San Francisco jumped on his first pitches too. Stanley Boyd Smith, great point. I think the command was off. Not so sure if he was tipping, but they were aggressive trying to ambush him, and that's where you saw those doubles. I mean, four doubles given up in four innings and hard contact. But yeah, it was just a bad start for him, and hopefully he gets back on track. Knowing the guy he is, the competitor he is, how much work he puts in, the review he's going to do of the tape, I guarantee he'll be back there and being that ace for this team like he's been all season. Yo, D-Mac, what up, Carnivorous Looter? Activity C is cap. Mike M, we're the Giants banging trash cans. That's a fire take. Were they?
Fire take.
We know cheaters wear orange, I'll tell you that much. We need Flaherty by the trade deadline. Mr. Seabat Glasnow had a horrific start. Dodgers still won. Carry on. Boblin Biggio didn't help him. Is that what we're calling him? Boblin Biggio? Boblin Biggio? We got, yes. The baseball all of a sudden turns into a bar of soap for Kevin Biggio at times. And I said a couple weeks ago, he's not a natural third baseman. He really is a corner outfielder, possibly, but more likely a second baseman. So, yeah, he doesn't inspire much confidence at the hot corner, and he did it tonight. The Beat LA shirts came in handy, huh? That's from Rosemary over there. Blake's ERA over 3. That's from BC. Glass burnout. That's from our friend Ice Kings 8-1-10. Blau K, our consistency is consistently all over the place, night in and night out. Jim H, Giants outfield look goofy in extra innings. D-Mac in the house. What a protective pro gear. What's up, my man? Always rocking with us. The Beat LA chant is so annoying. Beat LA. Beat LA. Sammy Boy Smith, Biggio did have good hands on some tricky plays, though. Silver lining. Yeah, there that one was in there. I'll give him that. But still, I think it's a lack of offense, too, contributing. I mean, you would hope that you make the routine plays. It's a lack of offense. And the fact that he just hasn't done anything that you really feel like, okay, what's he doing to contribute to this team? And unfortunately, it's just been a rough start and a tough situation for him, quite frankly. But Kelly O'Shea says, funny thing is we win on Tyler's worst outing and lose when Tyler throws a two-hit shutout over 7 innings. That's baseball. Absolutely. That's a comment of the show. Baseball is a sport. Remember, baseball is a sport where... it's perfect. 162 games of being furious about the results, but they were achieve one more game at that landfill the Giants call home. Yeah, that's Dodger Stadium North. That's what they call it. BC is a leader of the chat. What up, BC? Let's go down here. So what else we got? D-Mac going to slap on the Draker and hit the club after the stream. Electric sliding to celebrate the big win. Look out. Hey, that's awesome. Hollis Sports Talk, you have a good night. I'm going to step this way and do your thing. We got nothing for Glasnow. He had a bad earlier in the season, rebounded nicely. Yeah, it's definitely nothing. He's going to be just fine. Pax number two, Ohtani hitting dingers for Glasnow. Recruitment promise kept. Absolutely. That's what he does. That's what Shohei Ohtani said before the season. And as part of his recruiting pitch to Tyler Glasnow is that, hey, he's going to help you and hit a ton of home runs. And he's certainly done that. I want to get the numbers down for how many he's actually had during his starts, but 26 for Shohei Ohtani on the year. Him and Aaron Judge, two best players in baseball at the plate, in my opinion. And I think that's really a hot take at all. It's pretty much a established fact that you got to give the Dodgers credit, though, for picking up Tyler Glasnow the way they did. After that third inning where Glass gives up four runs on four hits, top of the fourth, you had Howard on the mound, and the Dodgers, that offense came alive right away. Teoscar Hernandez, he flied out to right. Then Páez, he draws a one-out walk. Jason Hayward, first pitch, he singled to right. That set the Dodgers up with runners on the corners. Rojas, he reached on that infield single to short. That scored Páez to make it 5-3. Lux, he singles to right. So, hey, we talk a lot about Gavin Lux. Give Gavin Lux some credit. Some timely base hits in this one. That's what you need. Great pitching. Timely base hits. Okay? If you can have those two things in the postseason, you're going to win a ton of games. And you had pitchers executing when they needed to, like Huddy, late in the game. And then you had the offense really getting the hits tonight when they needed to. And Lux on a 1-2 count, he singled to right. That scored Hayward to bring the Dodgers with that one at 5-4. And then Biggio, he wasn't even able to bunt properly. I mean, he popped that bunt out to first, so wasted out there. And then that brings up Ohtani. Ohtani draws the walk. They wanted nothing to do with Ohtani. Rodriguez comes in, and then Smith, he reaches on an infield single to tie things. How about Will Smith and those legs? How about Will Smith running that out the way he did? Will Smith, for a catcher to have that kind of speed and that kind of effort, that's what you want to see, and that's what you love. I mean, Will Smith is at 27.2 feet per second. He's a average runner. He's in the 50th percentile when it comes to sprint speed as a catcher. That's definitely really, really good, and it just shows you. I mean, when he's slumping, he's not going to have any slip up as far as the effort goes, and you saw that evidence there during that at bat. He's able to leg that out. And that really changed the game. I mean, that ends up scoring another run, ties things at five. And then Freddie Freeman, he walked with the bases loaded to give the Dodgers a 6-5 lead. So that was the inning right there. Lux comes through in a big spot. Pa has a very mature walk in that situation. Yet infield singles, Rojas and Will Smith. So one thing I love about this game is, yeah, you had the home run from Ohtani. Yeah, you had those doubles from Smith and Freddie Freeman and Páez, but they were able to put the ball in play in situations and manufacture offense without the slug. A wise man once said, I think it was Aristotle or Socrates, Socrates, whatever you call them, if you want the dub, you got the slug, but you also need some more clubs in your bag. You need the pitching wedge, right? You need the other clubs to be able to execute in those situations, and we saw that right there. Peek a peek. Really glad to see Will Smith finally come around. He was my player of the game. Yeah, hitting 154 last 10 games. So definitely great to see him come through in that spot. Protective Pro Gear. I notice all of our starters are struggling lately. I mean, it's a long season. We got a super chat right here from Chris. $2. Biggio looked like Biden on that debate stage. Wow. Wow. That's a finish him. That's a bruh. Mr. Classic, so do wild card teams and good teams. They all go hard. Judge has hanky-panky cards. Judge has hit at least four cheap Yankees special short porch homers this season. Yeah, and that's why it's a great fit. I mean, you imagine Ohtani in the Bronx. I think they'd be close at this point when it comes to home runs. But still, Biggio equals Bronny James. That's from Classic Caps. Interesting take right there. Interesting. Guys, got to remember, I got to be in the clubhouse around these guys. So we got the Jay Bullitt, ETC, SF1, their World Series yesterday. They blew their load too early. Kenny, Cody Clemens equals Kevin Biggio. Cody Clemens greater than side, Kevin Biggio. Hey, man, gets an opportunity, right? Bobland-Biggio, oh, man, that's rough. Yeah, Bobland-Biggio. If we see that trending in the next week, we're going to know where that started from for sure. Need a defensive center fielder. Hornitos, D-Mac, take a shot. Low blue, boom, take a shot right there. Got to get some stuff popping up here. For the next year, I think I will. Defensively, though, Andy Páez has been an above-average center fielder. Andy Páez has a lot of tools in his toolbox, and one of those tools is having range and speed and a great arm at the center field spot. So I definitely think he can grow into that, but that's kind of one of the benefits of a player like a Luis Robert Jr. that can play that position. We got, if you consider all prominent factors, Scooble is a better option over Crochet, but I messaged last week, be bold and relentless and trade for both prospects. Don't outweigh these two guys. Blau K. I mean, look, typically if you're a team that can go out there and try to put the finishing touches to a roster that you think can win a World Series, you're not going to hold back on guys that aren't going to be able to contribute for the next 2 to 3 seasons. That's not what this organization is going to do, but it is a matter of trying to maximize the value of those prospects. So it's not that they don't want to give away prospects. It's that they want to maximize the value of those prospects and get the most in return, knowing that those guys are under team control for a couple seasons, if not more, and are players that truly, truly fill a need and get you over the top, like a Luis Robert Jr. could potentially do, like a Randy Arozarena could potentially do. Bo Bichette, he was asked by a reporter if he would be surprised if he was going to be traded, he would say no. It feels like Bo Bichette, momentum is heading in the direction of maybe him getting traded. Even Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is on a tear right now, so maybe that changes things a little bit, but that team has underperformed. As far as Tarik Skubble, we don't know if he's going to be traded or not. That would be the big wild card in this trade deadline situation, is if the Detroit Tigers, Lions and Tigers and Bears, oh my, the Detroit Tigers were truly willing to trade him, that would change the entire market, because you already have Jesus Luzardo, a player that's not going to be available until mid-August at the very earliest. If he's not going to be dealt, which probably he won't at this point, maybe a team looks at him and says, okay, lower lumbar back injury, he'll be back. But more likely, it's going to be Crochet, it's going to be Flaherty. But if you add Skubal to that mix, that changes the upside of this potential deadline, because he then becomes, along with Crochet, the two crown jewels of the deadline. And the market for those two guys would be tremendously high, because they're under 2 more years of team control after this season. So it's not like they're rentals, and the price of those guys will take 4 top 10 prospects potentially. I mean, we're talking 3 to 4 top.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Westwood One.
And prospects to get a crochet or a scuba. We got Richard Flores. Biggio was found in the dumpster behind the Dollar Tree. Lent him behind on the team hotel. No bobblehead night for him. Wow, Richard Flores he's swinging big tonight. You're bringing those big time roasts out there. We got game one between the Dodgers and Giants was lost when Roberts didn't let Shohei steal in the eighth inning against the worst team against steals. Plain and simple. I didn't do the post game yesterday, but that's kind of one thing I was screening my TV is that, look, you want to especially be aggressive with Shohei Ohtani when he's batting the leadoff spot and for what he's done this season. I mean, Shohei has put together the best start of his season as a base runner, and that's something that was a conscious effort for the team heading into the season, was with the focus being solely offensively, you wanted to maximize what he can do on the base pass. And you saw what he did in other games, when he can go first to third or swipe a bag, it definitely changes things. And it adds another element to his game that really, really takes him to a whole nother level. And he's already at 16 stolen bases this year. He had 20 last year in how many games total? 135 games. So he already has 16 through 80 games. So yeah, I mean, I think if you're a Shohei Ohtani, you absolutely want to be utilized more. We got the 499 Lorenzo Gattis, not a Laker fanboy, but how do you feel about our Bronny? Okay, you want to ask me about Bronny? I think that, quick take, it's a second-round pick. It's a 55th pick in the draft. You don't really need to necessarily hit on a guy like that because he's a developmental player that you're going to throw in the G League and hope that it works out. And the bottom line is, if they were hell-bent on signing LeBron James after he opted out of his contract, well, if that led to that, then that is a part of your plan. So if they didn't draft Bronny and LeBron were to walk and sign with the other team, then the Lakers would be truly in shambles and they would be entering full rebuild mode and probably would be in a position where it would make sense to trade AD. So they were kind of forced to do it. GM, LeCap, hey, it's bring your son to the NBA day for LeBron. I think for me, it's interesting because we'll see if it's a distraction for the Lakers if things go south. If the Lakers are having a good season, cool. I'm sure there'll be a lot of warm and fuzzy feelings about it. We'll have a Ken Griffey Jr., Ken Griffey Sr. moment. They're not going to hit back-to-back home runs in a game, right? Maybe they can have back-to-back dunks or three-pointers. Who knows? But if the team's losing and they're off to a really bad start, then you bring up Bronny James and that's the story. Well, then I think it becomes a distraction, because for most organizations, it's about winning, right? The Dodgers are about winning. It's the Lakers are about winning. And right now, the story for the Lakers, the biggest, most clickable story is about a Bronny James playing with his dad, and it's not necessarily about championships right now. I mean, you want to bring in Klay Thompson, that kind of stuff, but it's a move they kind of had to make. They were forced to make this move because they've gone all in with LeBron James. So you make your bed, you got to lay in it, and that's kind of what the Lakers had to do. We got spent $2 billion this offseason. Dodgers should be aggressive in season trades as well. If Dodgers win this season, it will be a dynasty for a long time. I agree with that take. Who was that? I don't give you credit. Yang Yi. I definitely think if you win this year, it takes a lot of pressure off, and then it snowballs. Whereas if you lose this year, then you're at a place where, are you making some panic moves? Are you making some desperate moves? And then every year they don't win, it's okay, this was all for naught. Let's be honest here. It's great to have Shohei Ohtani. It's great to have Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts. If they don't win a championship, they're going to be on a very short list of teams that are going to be considered the most underachieving teams in professional sports history. That's how high the stakes are with this group. And whether you love that or you hate that, that's just the truth. That's just a truth bomb for you right there. That you don't win a championship with this group, it's going to be considered a colossal failure. There's no in-between here. There's no, oh, they made it to the NLCS a couple times. Oh, they had a couple World Series appearances. No, some people, in their eyes, they think they have to win multiple championships to make this a successful regime in Los Angeles. But you got to at least win one. So you win it this year. That's why I'm such a proponent of going all in this season. Remember, the watch, throw that in there. Wife's earrings, lean on the mortgage, everything you got. Throw it in the middle of the table because you still have Freddie in his prime. You have Mookie in his prime. You have Will Smith in his prime. You have Tyler Glass now as an ace this season. I mean, you win this year, and then it's okay. Let's be the 90s Bulls, baby. Let's be the Patriots. Let's go on a big-time run. But the more you have to chase that championship, the more the pressure mounts with this organization. So why not win in year one? Why not win in year one? That's the most important thing. Parades over prospects. Well, we need to give Luck some love. He is looking better at the plate. That's from Angel Tobar. That's what we do on this show. We don't try to hate. We don't try to show too much love. We just try to keep it 100, and you're absolutely correct. Gavin Lux deserves a lot of credit because he has been showing a lot of improvement at the plate. And yes, are his numbers on the season going to recover? Probably not. The OPS is still under 600, but still, you've seen better at-bats. You're not seeing him swing at many bad pitches. You're seeing better contact rates at this point. And really, you just want to see him get on base. Yesterday, he went 1-for-4, had a big RBI in that loss. A couple games ago against the White Sox, it was 2-for-3. Had a two-hit game against the Angels. So this month he's hitting 239 with a 600 OPS. Those aren't great numbers, but I think you look at midway through this season, you've seen some better games. We had the three-hit game in New York, but I think what this organization's faced with is how much progress is he truly going to make? And is that what's that progress really going to mean for this team? You look at Gavin Lux in his last 12 games, he's been better for sure. Hitting 268 with a 676 OPS. Does a 676 OPS with him at second base make more sense than Mookie at second base and Miguel Rojas at shortstop playing premium defense at a premium position at an elite level while being above average bat? To me, the answer is no. So, I mean, either you put... And then do you want to lose an outfielder spot, especially if you want to go trade for a thumper, right? You need a little more power out there. Jason Hayward comes through tonight with the big triple. Páez isn't going anywhere. Teoscar Hernandez isn't going anywhere. So it's kind of a situation where there's just the lack of roster flexibility, the lack of positional flexibility is what, to me, works against Gavin Lux when it comes to putting together the most optimal lineup, the most optimal lineup for this team. We got Gotani, actually, too. They got swept in their first time. Okay, so you guys want to talk about a little Kenley Jansen here? Let's get some more. I'm going to read 20 takes. Ready? Let's do 20 takes. LaBreakers, Paul George. Okay, now we're doing Lakers talk. ACDC, I like Peterson a lot. Throws hard, produces a lot of Ks. Yeah, I mean, he's pumping gas up there, working up in the zone. Got that long delivery. Keith, Evan, I will start watching Lakers again when LeBron is gone. A lot of Laker fans feel that way. Craig Osterberg, Greek Freak. Okay, this is turning into an NBA show. Wow, this really has. What's your opinion on the Bijou experiment? We talked about it. And the experiment, I'm not saying it's Jock Peterson at first level bat or anything like that, but it definitely has underwhelmed so far. Bagwell had the coolest batting stance ever, though, like he was sitting up in a chair. Yeah, Sammy Boy, you had the Sheffield, you had the Bagwell, you had the Griffey. Those are my three most mimic stances that I did as a kid. We got Paul Gutierrez, Lakers don't need LeBron. I think we would be okay without him. Okay, maybe I'll bring back the Lakers channel again. I go into October with low expectations to ease the pain. Hey, man, no, World Series are buzz, baby. Bilal, okay, I'm tooting a horn on DMAC's show in support of the trade acquisitions that supply bang with the bat. The power and scrappiness of the NLDS, NLCS, and ALWS contender will listen to us if we have big sticks. Yeah, hit that like button if you want to see a big impact trade for your Los Angeles Dodgers. So let's keep rolling here. We got a long show today, huh? We got Lux is a tough nut to crack. That's from Sammy Boy Smith. Yongyi, Mookie's first year, Dodgers won World Series. Hope same happens with Ohtani. Cut Kevin Biggio and sign his dad. That's from Cole. You guys are killing me. You guys are killing me. DFA Biggio. NS Lux, we got if Max is not expected to come back, should they get Rengifo? Rengifo would be a good option. I mean, Luis Rengifo is a great player that fits a lot of needs for a lot of teams. But I can tell you from firsthand that they truly expect Max Muncy to be back and that they're going to have enough time to get him in rhythm. Rengifo has one more year of team control after this season, so There's that, and there's also the fact that he's up with the Angels. Taylor Ward's a player that could be attractive that they should trade. I mean, if you're the Angels, blow that thing all the way up down to the studs and sell the team and honestly disband as a franchise and move to Portland or something. But Matt Duffy might be available. Heart attack, Kenley Jansen, forget Jansen. Yeah, I'm going to do a whole video on Kenley Jansen, but we got John Heyman has reported that the Dodgers have showed some interest in Kenley Jansen. Now, his year that he's having so far in Boston, he's pitched in 27 games. The strikeout numbers are pretty consistent with last year's totals. Aren't as high as they were with the Braves, but a 10.54 K per nine. The walk rate, little on the high side for sure, but what's really impressed me about Kenley Jansen this season is when Kenley really blows it, it's when he starts to give up home runs. Don't make me bring up Marwin Gonzalez, just did. Don't make me bring up the Steve Pierce of the world. But look, Kenley Jansen this season has a 0.00 home runs per nine and a 2.3 ERA, a 2.13 FIP. The expected FIP, expected ERA, they're almost a full point higher than his real total. So definitely due for a little regression. But Kenley Jansen, here's the thing. If you traded for Kenley and you feel like he can still help this team, what it does is you move Evan Phillips to that fireman role. And then actually, when it comes to winning time, that definitely can help a team more during certain stretches, because you can use him against the top of the lineup, towards the middle of the lineup, in any situation, and then you put Kelly in that role. And really it kind of speaks to me is, what does this mean about Bruzdar Gratterall? Do they feel like maybe Bruzdar is not going to come back, or how is he going to perform when he comes back? So a lot of decisions to make. I mean, you know what my take. I mean, it's, you never want to get back with your ex unless they've really figured things out for themselves. And Kenley, he definitely has looked kind of like the guy we saw a couple years ago in 2021. But you wonder if he'd be able to handle being a Dodger where there's pressure. Not that much pressure in Boston this season. So would that be the case? I mean, we're talking about a guy that really, I mean, got booed off the mound. I mean, I always say, you know, with Kenley Jansen, it's the Kenley Fournier adventure. I mean, when he's great and he's on, he has the feel for the cutter and he's hitting his spots, velocity was up, then he could absolutely help this team. But you wonder how he would handle the pressure and expectations of this team. Because even in 2017, when he was still one of the best in the game, he faltered in the postseason. So it kind of depends on the role they want to have for this team. But maybe Adames will take a one-year deal. Sammy, he's not. He's going to get a multi-year deal. Willy Adames has absolutely put himself in a position to sign a nice contract. And I would anticipate that he would sign a deal similar to the 7-year deal that Dansby Swanson signed with the Cubs for $177 million, something in that range, because he's got pop, he has great glove work. So we got California Kenley ride in the back seat. Go get Trout then. Yeah, too many injury issues for Trout, man. We got Diane. Nah, I'm doing bleachers. I'm doing some Lakers stuff for Bleacher Report, their live stream. So be on the lookout for those. Home run, Brett Wisely. Hudson was a Dodger dog. Yeah, we gave him the Dodger dog tonight. Couple more here, guys, and let you enjoy the rest of your Saturday night. We got who's the most reliable stopper? I mean, absolutely has to be Evan Phillips. I mean, he's the best reliever on the Dodgers. Gotani from Marcos Gutierrez. Closer is needed. D-Mac, there ain't but one MLB team in L.A. Shane Rochester, I'll give you a comment of the show for that one. No one, Kenley. What else? My ex is a tramp. Come on, David Sabatini. Talking about Kenley. Bilal Cases, please note Kenley. Anyone can run on him too easy with that delivery. I think you go out there and get Tanner Scott. Quite frankly, he's just better at this stage of his career, and you add another lights-out lefty. Lux for NL MVP from J Bullet TC. Mario says, yeah, Kenley can't pitch in Colorado due to heart conditions. No thanks to bass guitar player Kenley Jansen. L.A. greater than sign SF. Never forget your daddy, San Francisco Giants. Oh, we got Giants fans in the chat. Okay. Did you beat L.A.? Because the only thing you beat L.A. at was getting to the parking lot, because you guys took that L. Enjoy that World Series win. And yeah, I guess it is an even year. So yesterday was your World Series win. But Roy Estrada, D-Mac, don't let numbers fool you. He pitches for the Red Sox. How many high-level games is he pitching? That's kind of what I was kind of alluding to. here in this one. Trade CT3 for Bat Boy. Yeah, hey, how about Mr. Javier Herrera, man? Yeah, I'm actually, yeah, I'm with KB. I'm going to try to get Javier on the show for sure. When is Otani pitching next year? Yep, Otani is continuing to make his way back, so rehab has gone well. Don Kim, bullpen could be bolstered by players returning from injury like Hurt and Brazier and possibly even May. Yeah, that's a fantastic point. You got Brazier, who was the Dodgers' best reliever along with Evan Phillips and Brusdar Gratter last season. Brusdar had a breakout year, 120 ERA. So, yeah, it's going to feel like trade acquisitions at that point when you get them back, no doubt. Yep, SFS. I love that, Don Kim. SF stands for season finished. But D-back Giants fans don't fare well. And okay, we got he was crying for 24 hours the next day because, wow, I love it, baby. Give us that engagement, man. Getting us paid. Javier for president 2024. But that's going to do it for this episode of Dodgers Nation postgame show. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. If you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the channel. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. Hit that like button. Remember, nothing brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. Until next time.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Sean LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.